Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, our double play. 10 minutes away at 11:45, and at noon, we're blitzing. Why isn't Josh Doctson playing more? Next hour. Matt Wieters of the Nationals, 1:30, we will be busy. Talking about the sluggish start to the NFL season in terms of quality of play, I just looked at the Thursday night matchup. I don't think it's going to change that much with the next game getting played. Do you know who plays Thursday night?
No, I haven't looked yet. Who is it?
Texans-Bengals.
Oh, no.
Earlier today, we gave our top five teams in our power rankings just based on the first week of the season. If we gave our bottom five teams, these are two of the teams with the biggest duds. The Texans got blown out by the Jags and gave up 10 sacks, have already benched Tom Savage. It looks like they're going to Deshaun Watson, although Bill O'Brien was the good King Richard yesterday, answering questions and completely non-committal. Someone said, have you made your quarterback decision up yet? And he goes, no. I said, are you going to make this a game-time decision? Probably. And then he goes, I don't think I have to tell you guys who's starting at quarterback. I don't think that's a rule. He was very upset about it.
Yeah, get more upset.
It's also glaringly obvious that it's going to be Deshaun Watson.
And if it's not, you're doing it wrong, sir.
Mr. Bill O'Brien, remember.
Mr. O'Brien. It's not as if here's the thing. Neither solution right now is any good. Deshaun Watson has a chance to be good one day, but the idea that Savage and the Savage Nation is going to make them competitive, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Deshaun Watson gave them a little bit of a spark, got them on one touchdown drive and scrambled a little bit. His numbers didn't blow your skirt up either. That Houston offense with that great offensive mind, Mr. O'Brien, are going to scuffle. And maybe the defense is overrated.
I think the Texans are a lot better than they looked. Well, they have to be. I mean, let's just start with that.
You can't be that terrible. That's
a dumb thing to say because, yes, obviously they wouldn't get blown out by the Jaguars 17 weeks in a row, 16 games straight. But I do think they're closer to 8-8 than they are 3-13. The Bengals might be the team, though, that I was most disappointed in week one. So that game tomorrow night becomes pretty fascinating. The Bengals got the ultimate dud, just a thud outing from Andy Dalton. Did you go back and watch any of his picks in that game?
I saw them, and they are bad.
This was just the worst performance a good starting quarterback could have. We still today hear people bring up in town sometimes when Kirk Cousins, as a neophyte, got picked off four times by the Giants. Remember that game?
The Thursday night game.
It was a second-half game against New York at FedEx. It was in 2014 before he became a starter, was really thought that highly of in the organization.
I'd like them to never play the Giants on Thursday night with Kirk Cousins at QB, by the way.
I'd be fine with that.
I want to go forward with that. Please,
I'd like
go
to
ahead.
Never play on national TV with anyone at quarterback.
Well said.
For that matter. Mm-hmm. But Dalton had that game years into his career as a nearly $100 million quarterback. He got a $96 million contract, Andy Dalton. He's been a playoff quarterback many times over. He is a starter on a good team. You could call him a franchise quarterback in that you never have to worry about benching him. And the question is, what's the upside if he's your starter? Can you win a Super Bowl, or are you just, you know, kind of a 9-7, 10-6 team hoping to get hot? But a lot of guys have won titles as those caliber of passers. He threw four picks and looked so bad. That's your Thursday night game.
And the game was over, by the way, because of it. It wasn't as if, hey, they were trying to rally frantically and he threw them late, just, you know, trying to take extra chances. It was when the game was in the balance. When the whole playbook was at your disposal, it was picks when there shouldn't have been.
Chad was on yesterday in his slot, 2-6, Chad Dukes versus the world. He said something that at first I thought, wow, that's crazy he just said that. And I actually think he's 100% right. And I heard some similar refrain today with the Sports Junkie. I'd say the same thing about this Bengals game with the Texans and about the Redskins game this weekend. This is how crazy the NFL is. This is why I love it so much. You can make the case. Must win is the most over-talked about, overhyped, overrated phrase in sports. The loser of this Texans-Bengals game is in bad shape.
Yeah,
I mean, you almost have to win and not go 0-2. But to the Redskins' point of view, and Chad said this yesterday, my first thought was, that's insane. And then I thought about it and I went, wait a sec. He's probably right. If the Redskins go 0-2 with a loss to the Rams that everyone chalked up as a win when the schedule came out, by the way, it looks very different now. Forget that they just almost scored 50 points. Sean McVay knows everything there is to know about this offense, Kirk Cousins, what they want to do, how they want to run. He's been with Jay Gruden off and on since 15 years ago in Tampa Bay or whatever it was. I guess he would have been 15 years ago. So it's probably about 10 years ago in Tampa Bay.
But I think the point stands.
Right. If they lose to the Rams, they've got the Raiders in primetime and the Chiefs in primetime in the next 2 weeks. Two teams that should combine to win 22 games this year. Why would you expect that they can win both of those and get back to 2-2?
This is what your boy has been saying, 4 months.
If you're 1-3, that's a bad start. If you're 0-4, that's catastrophic. They have to beat the Rams.
They needed to be 2-2 through the first four. That is now that much more uphill in order to have any kind of a season that people will be semi-pleased
with. And to do that, now you have to steal a game against a better AFC team.
Exactly.
Had you have just beaten the Eagles, who you're as good as, that day you weren't necessarily.
Right.
But that game was still there to be had, even though they didn't play
to,
well.
Close to, yeah, you'd say.
You're right there, same bucket as you. If you win that game, now you just have to take care of the Rams. You're 2-0, and when you lose those two AFC games against good teams, if it happens, one on the road, one at home in primetime, you're 500 through a quarter, and you're right where you need to be. Now, if you lose to the Rams, you basically need to make up two mulligans.
You need a couple birdies. You need a couple birdies off the green. You need a couple games where there's no shot that you somehow show up and play excellent. Whether that's at Dallas, at Seattle, good luck, Marco from Tripoya style, at the Giants. Well, maybe now, you know, if Odell Beckham doesn't play, then you got a shot because apparently they're just a completely different roster. 52 other guys can't pull their weight, but Broncos are still good. The point of the dude's story is this. This is an arduous thing, and now everybody's kind of going, wait a minute, if they lose to the Rams, I've been screaming this for months, a bad start, they will not be able to make it up this year because this is different. This is a different schedule, a different line of thinking.
It's crazy, but this is why football is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you can live or die with it.
There are 15 weeks after this, and there are 14 games to go, and the season is just starting. But if you're following our logic, you can understand the magnitude of this game on Sunday.
All things equal. So forget about the results of the first four. Because if a team's 0-4, it's a different animal. And, you know, guys are punting and it doesn't look real good and whatever else, right? It's easy to say. But if you just take all games being equal, the only thing that you would say, and you look at the Redskins' schedule, you'd go, they should beat San Francisco. That team is dreadful. San Francisco's not ready for primetime yet. I know it's a Kylehan game. I know he's going to pull out all the stops and run all the trickery, and Pierre Garçon's going to be motivated and stiff-arming guys to the ground. That's all cute. San Francisco's not ready for primetime. They're probably the 30th or 31st worst team in this league, right? They're not very good. Actually, the 31st worst were probably the second best. You see the point of the phrase, though. They're not very good. They're terrible. All the other games, there's no way you'd go, I think the Redskins are definitely better.
Yeah.
You feel great about them at Philadelphia, Dallas, Seattle, Minnesota,
in fairness,
et cetera?
We're looking at it right now after they just played a terrible game. If we looked at the schedule right now and they came out and played well against the Eagles, we would be viewing it very differently.
Or they had struggled to win and gotten outplayed and won 19-17 if there's no Kirk Cousins pick there. You'd still not be, hey, I can't wait for them to run the table against Oakland and Kansas City and Denver and at Seattle and Minnesota. I don't know, man. I feel like I'm beating the same drum over and over again on this, but I am terrified, especially now that they dropped that first one.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, our double play comes your way each day at 11:45. That is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And at noon, your blitz covering the Skins and the Nationals after a rare beatdown at the hands of the Braves last night. You're listening to the Fan.